Hi, everyone. Thank you so much, Caitlin, for helping me, get connected with everyone tonight so that I can share a few things with you guys. I first want to share just a little bit of my story and then share some things about what God is currently doing in my life in the season that I'm in. And I just hope that through this story, you guys will see less of me and more of God, and that through it, you will behold him and his word and his local church as beautiful. So I hope that this, that you'll learn a little bit about me, but that you will know him more by the end. So yeah, just to start off, I live in Asheville, and it's about 2 hours west of Winston, so pretty close to where Joe grew up, and I am married to Matt, who is a general surgery resident, so Grey's Anatomy style, and we have a home that we love here, and a dog named Hank, who we love, and we belong to the Grove Church, which is a plant of the Summit Church from Raleigh-Durham. I think Winston has its own plant from the Summit, so we're kind of in that Summit network. I currently work in the athletic department at a small private school where I also coach field hockey. And prior to all of this, I ran track and cross country at Wake. I graduated in 2016 before moving to Durham to be with Matt, where he was in med school. And that same year, I interned with Athletes in Action at UNC Chapel Hill. So Athletes in Action played a huge role in my faith and in my growth and my sanctification during my college years. So I just wanted to share a little bit more about that to be an encouragement to you guys who are all showing up and being a part of the AIA community. So I grew up in church. I grew up in a church-going household, had two parents who cared very, very deeply about my spiritual formation and my relationship with God. And from a young age, I was really interested in God and in cultivating some sort of religious identity. I really enjoyed like youth groups and Bible studies and things like that. And I loved God deeply. And it was within my personality to try to live that out by pleasing him. So I was a very moral person. I had a very black and white view of the world and of right and wrong. And that made it quite easy for me to be religious as a teen. I really cultivated this view of God that he wanted certain actions from me, or more specifically that he wanted me to abstain from certain things in order to earn his love and prove my devotion to him. So at the time, I might have described being a Christian as a reflection of things that I did, in the same way that one might say, like, I'm a soccer player because I play soccer. I was like, oh, I'm a Christian because I go to church instead of going to parties. And so by that standard, I was generally quite successful at being a Christian and pleasing God and like proving my devotion to him. And that led to a very high view of myself. I was very full of pride and arrogance over the fact that I was a very good person. I was doing the right thing, and I walked the line of religion quite well. And when I came to Wake Forest, I actually arrived as a field hockey player. And as I transitioned from summer school to the fall semester, I met with Jen, the hockey coach, to discuss sort of a change of heart that I was having. I was wanting to pursue a different sport that I had had a little bit later success in high school, which was distance running. I was thinking I wanted to pursue that in college instead of sitting the bench for the hockey team. And Jen came alongside me and was so supportive and helped me really realize that dream. I grew up in Winston and had a wonderful relationship, long-term relationship with Jen. And so she really advocated for me, and I was very thankful for that. But I think that experience gave me this false sense that this transition was going to go like really smoothly and really well. And aside from having a very supportive coaching staff, after switching teams, pretty much the bottom just like fell out from under me. I lost the opportunity for the friendships that I had planned on having. My roommate was on the field hockey team and she was making her own friends, and the cross country team had no idea who I was. And then I got injured in the first month because I had been training for the wrong sport all summer. And I quickly just fell into a lot of despair. I was extremely homesick, which was something that caught me very off guard, given that I was from Winston and had spent my entire childhood there. Growing up, I was close to my family. I knew the campus well. I had been friends with my roommate for quite some time, and like before we moved onto campus. So I thought I was going to get plugged in and be great, but I was experiencing a lot of homesickness, a lot of loneliness, a lot of despair, and this injury, friendlessness. And thankfully, during summer school, I had gotten connected to AIA through someone in the ice bath who was involved with AIA. So she invited me and I plugged in pretty immediately. And I felt very encouraged by the AIA community. And I just felt very reassured while there that God loved me and wanted to be in relationship with me. And I thought, well, great, like I want that too. And I thought that that would mean an end to my suffering and my struggles. I wanted happiness, honestly. And I thought, you know, I'm in this storm and Jesus loves me and he's going to calm the storm. He's going to calm the storm in my life. He's going to make things easier and better and happier. And he's going to give me friends and take away my injuries and my struggles. And so I kept showing up to AIA because I wanted more of God. I wanted more of his love. But it had this underlying selfish desire and this really distorted view of what it meant to know God more or to experience his love. So thankfully, as I continued showing up throughout those struggles of friendlessness and injuries, through the faithful preaching of God's word by Joe and others, and through the testimonies of many athletes who were more mature than I was in my faith, I began to see a more accurate view of the gospel and of God's love for me and how that plays out and of the Christian life. And I learned quite a few very important things that I had been missing for a while. So the first thing was that I had to be humbled in my pride. Romans chapter 3 says, both Jews and Greeks are under sin. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. And later in the chapter, he says, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So I pretty quickly heard that truth and came to recognize myself not as the good person that I had previously seen myself as, but as a sinner, deeply, inherently sinful in my heart. And I remember in high school, some of my Catholic friends talking about going to confession. And I thought, oh, I'm so glad that I'm not Catholic. Like, I don't even know what sins I would confess at confession. And little did I know that confession is an act of faith for all believers. But I also just had a distorted view of what sin was. And I thought that sins were bad things that you did that God didn't like and you had to apologize for. But I came to learn that sin was a rebellious heart state. And, you know, God sets a holy standard and I was consistently missing it. Not because I called someone a mean name or stole something that wasn't mine, but because every day my heart and my flesh wanted to be their own God and wanted control of my own life and chose to rebel from God. So I had to be humbled in my pride and view myself rightly. And then I also had to be shown the result of my sin and the lack of power in my own actions to change it. So still in Romans in chapter 6, Paul, referring to sin, calls sinful things fruitless and says the end of those things is death, for the wages of sin is death. And back in chapter 3, Paul wrote that the whole world will be held accountable to God, for by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight. So that was the next truth that I really heard and that sank into my heart and that I had to recognize, that I could not earn God's favor or approval through the good things that I did, or more accurately in my own life, through the bad things that I avoided and didn't do, the things that I thought righteous living is choosing not to do these things, and that my status in the eyes of God, though he loved me and desperately wanted to be in right relationship, wanted me to be in right relationship with him, my status in his eyes was guilty. You know, I mentioned he set this holy standard and I didn't meet it. And we see pretty clearly in scripture that the punishment for sin is death. And maybe that's not being like struck down by lightning death, but death as in the opposite of eternal life with God. And there was absolutely no way that I could claw my way back into right relationship with him. No amount of Bible study or confession or righteous living could earn my salvation. So those two things together were pretty devastating news for me to hear as a struggling freshman, recognizing my sinful nature, my separation from God, you know, my lack of ability to earn my way into God's favor and good graces. Those aren't really fun things to come to know as true. And I feel like a main reason that people don't come to God is because they don't like hearing those things. You know, you don't like hearing that you're a sinner in need of a savior. It's not just humbling, like it can feel truly devastating. And those truths on their own could have led me even deeper into despair. But instead, I learned the great news that accompanies those things, the gospel, the good news. And that is that God, in his mercy and out of his great love for me, provided a way where there was no way. So still in Romans, Paul says, "But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law." So I learned that though I could not earn my way to deserving life, an infinitely loving God who desired a personal relationship with me sent Jesus to die in my place. And I deserved punishment for sin against a holy and righteous God, but instead of extracting this punishment on me, he lovingly placed it on his son, Jesus. And Jesus lived the life I couldn't live and died the death that I deserved. And in doing so, his righteousness was imputed to me. And that holy and righteous God was also shown to be infinitely merciful and gracious and loving and intimate and kind and personal. So I mentioned earlier that I had really wanted Jesus to come and calm the storm of my life. I wanted him to take away my hardship and my suffering, my loneliness and my injuries and my singleness, and I wanted him to make me happy. But instead, the storm that he calmed was God's wrath. It was God's just punishment. The storm that I was sinking in was not unhappiness. The storm that I was sinking in was sin. And so we talk about this metaphor of Jesus calming the storm. It doesn't mean that it's a better and easier life with Christ, but it does mean a life in harmonious, loving relationship with God. And that was the beautiful news to me. And so I learned that that great news needed to inform my daily life and my walk as a Christian. So I'm still in Romans here, chapter 6. Paul says, "Are we to sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that you are slaves to the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves to sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. So I had this new view of my good works. I no longer made decisions to pursue purity in relationships, or to follow the law, or to treat my body well, or treat people kindly for the sake of earning God's favor. Instead, these things were lived out as a result of my new status before God and my loving relationship with Him as my Father. I also had to learn the hard truths of the Christian life. It's a sacrifice. The Christian life involves humility. It means I'm no longer living for my idols. I'm no longer my own God. It means I have to give generously, be in community. And it meant doing those things from a heart of obedience and thankfulness to God. So although I walked a pretty straight and narrow line and lived a very good Christian life, my life still had to radically change after I came to recognize the truths of the gospel.